having the same opinion about something, to concur. I completely agree with your recent editorial. These are all sayings that use the word synonymous or synonyms is concur, be of the same mind or having the same opinion, seeing eye to eye, agree to do something, consent to do something that has been suggested by another person. She has agreed to go and see a movie with him. These are all part of the dictionary that it showed. Synonyms, consent to, assent to. I can't even say that word there. Accept or approve. We're going to talk about the word agree. And I want to speak on the subject tonight, the power of agreement. The power of agreement. I was talking just a few guys just before the service started. And one of the things that I believe that God has called me to do as a teacher and a preacher, as a pastor, is correcting wrong thinking. I believe that has actually been a part of what I believe that God has helped me with, because how many realize that we form ideas in our mind, and what you think and how you think will produce how you live. So wrong thinking produces wrong living. If you have a wrong concept of something or a wrong idea, how many realize that can place you in bondage for years, living under the wrong assumption of something and missing what God's word even says about something? In fact, I've talked to you before in the past that one of the things the Lord has really dealt with my heart about is whatever we use in Scripture to make sure I keep contextual with Scripture. In other words, stay in the context of what is being said. And I believe, and I've used the term before, that many times Scripture has a duality to it, which means that it may have more than one significant meaning. Are you with me so far? It has more than one specific meaning. So God may be speaking to you, and God may take the very same Scripture and speak to you another part of that. But you still must remain consistent with the context. Because sometimes you'll take something out of context and you will then form something that you believe God is saying, that I want you to know God did not say that. And I'm guilty. Over the years, I remember striving to try to find a message. I would take one scripture because that one scripture sounded good, and I would build a whole message on one scripture, but it was contextually wrong. And in reality, I was misleading by doing so. It was not correct. God's really dealt with my heart about that. And so wrong thinking, you might get an idea because it's been traditionally said, and yet it was incorrect from the very beginning. I was talking to somebody just the other day. Somebody made the statement about there'll be no tears in heaven. I said, that's not correct. That's not correct. It sounds correct, but it's not. The Bible says he's going to wipe our tears away. But he didn't say there wouldn't be any tears. Are you catching my part here, what I'm trying to say? We get something in mind because we've heard it said that way, and then we just believe, well, that's got to be right. And I want to come away, I want to make sure that what we do is we rightly divide the word of truth. And we find, well, what does it? Because here's what John 8:32 says. If you will know the truth will set you free. And I found out that because God has given me revelation concerning the word. See, if he'd given me revelation without the word, then it's no revelation at all. Did you guys catch that? Somebody can say, well, the Spirit's leading me. Well, do you think the Spirit's going to lead you in a direction away from the word of God? No, the word of God is always going to be our center, right? If we're going to chart a course, you're going to want to make sure you have a good direction, a compass or a map that's going to keep you on target. That's what the word of God is. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict itself. If God the Holy Spirit and God the Word, which is the Son of God, they cannot contradict one another since they are one. That would be contradicting yourself, right? So I believe this, but I don't believe this. So it will always line up with what you are trying to say. All right, let's get into the word a little bit more. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, and Jesus is speaking here. I put that for you, but he's the one doing the talking. Here's what he says. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree This is the part the Amplified has put in for us for our benefit. Harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, I like that, and then in parentheses, anything and everything. I like that. Don't you like that? So let's make sure. Let's go back and make sure. So I'm telling you that if two of you on earth will agree, you'll harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name, there I am in the midst of them. What a powerful passage of Scripture. Now, I'll just throw this out here. We've talked a lot about, and we understand our mandate, loving God, loving people. And just because you love people does not mean that you necessarily are in agreement with everybody. How many have found out that some influences are not positive influences? Have you ever had to make a decision about the company you travel with based upon not that they don't love the Lord? Are you with me? Not that they are not, they're not born again. We're not talking about, not that they're not, you know, it's not that their desire is not to make heaven. But they are, they have a negative way about them that is not edifying you for growth. And so you find yourself needing to look for people, and this sounds bad, that you can be in agreement with. Did you guys get that? Now, that's not saying you're looking for yes men or yes women. You're simply looking for somebody that you can come into agreement with. Somebody that when you say, listen, will you pray with me about this matter, that you know because they said, I will pray with you, it's going to happen because they're agreeing with you. Power of agreement. The power of agreement, that I know that because they're setting their faith in agreement with my faith and my faith is in agreement with their faith, that God will respond to faith. Now, I've said this before. We're talking about things to make sure we stay correct in the Word of God. And if I blow up your theology, it is what it is. Under the old covenant, the blessings of God were contingent upon your obedience. Are you with me? Under the new covenant, your blessings are all contingent upon faith. Did you catch that? You say, well, don't I have to be obedient? Well, your faith will produce obedience. It will. Your faith will produce obedience, but God is not affected by your obedience. He's affected by your faith. Are you with me? It is your faith that reaches and connects you to the release. It is not your obedience. Under the old covenant, because it was all about doing. The old covenant was about doing. Say that with me. The old covenant was about doing. The new covenant is all about being done. Old covenant is about doing. New covenant is done. Everything Christ did is available. Everything that he did has already been done. How many realize in the atonement of Christ, everything is done? Faith is what it takes to get the release from heaven to us. It's all been done. It's all been done, but in order for me to receive or walk in it, I was talking tonight about anointing or gifts. Gifts are given severally as he wills, but guess what? God doesn't operate those gifts, you do. They're given to you to operate in them. Everybody say anointing. Anointing. How many understand the anointing of God is in us? The wisdom of God is in us. We don't always use it. He is the spirit of wisdom, is he not? We see an awful lot of foolishness out of people that have the gift of wisdom. Are you guys with me? You know what that, why? Because they're not operating in what God has given them. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory. Yet, if we're not walking in victory, does it mean he didn't give it? No, but your faith hasn't received what he gave. You're not operating in what he has already put in you. The deposit is in you. You deposit money in my bank account. I'd be a fool not to operate on what you deposited. You notice I said you deposited mine. I know you were waiting for me to say I deposited in yours. Right? You guys understand? It's been deposited, but that doesn't mean you benefit from that deposit until you operate based upon what has been given. We understand the blood of Christ has cleansed us from sin. The true heart of a person repentant is somebody that doesn't live where they've been repented from. Are you hearing me? You've repented from it doesn't mean you continue there. So your faith moves you through repentance into the victory that's already been given to you. All right, so we're talking about the power of agreement. The power of agreement that if any two of you, so I think we must become very particular. See, God's no respecter of person, but we must be in who we want to agree with. Amen. Because I need to set myself with people who are going to believe with me, for me, through me, so we can receive the things that God has for us. Amen. Aren't you tired of people saying, well, that'll never happen. That's never going to take place. I don't care what God's told you. Well, it hasn't happened yet, has it? All right. So we just need to understand the power of agreement. All right. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreement? So the truth of the matter is, if we're going to walk together, then we must work together. The Bible talks about being equally yoked. Now, when you think of being equally yoked, you understand that to be equally yoked is to be sharing the load equally. Right? And so the scripture, what Amos is a minor prophet, he's saying that can two walk together except they be in agreement? If I'm going to base my walk, my growth, if you will, upon your faith and my faith connecting. See, I really believe connection is a real key word that PBFC must begin to really continue to really push it. Because we understand that even in our strategy for harvest, our vision statement, it's about facilitating a personal relationship with every individual that comes in the door with Jesus Christ first and foremost. And then as we understand that, once we develop a relationship between man, woman, boy, girl with Christ, then the next thing is we need to connect them with people. So that people can connect, where we can begin to set an agreement with one another, and we'll really begin to understand the power of agreement. When all of a sudden we begin to see prayers being answered, I mean where the miracles really begin to take place, and where you're setting yourself in agreement that God grows the leadership of PBFC so that God's growing me faster than I'm able to grow, you understand, and I'm gaining revelation and insight from the Lord so fast I can't give it to you fast enough. How important is it for you guys to be praying in agreement to that? All right. What can happen when believers come into agreement? I mean, I want you guys to get the power of agreement. What can take place when people really begin to set themselves, position themselves in an earnest expectation? God, I don't know when you're going to do it, but I'm going to believe that you're going to do something that is just over and top. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I might ask, think, or imagine. Coming in contact where somebody is encouraging you to trust more than you've ever trusted before. Encouraging you to believe for what you've never been able to walk in before. I'm talking about experiencing the power of God like you've never had before in your life. What can happen when we as believers begin? How many realize the enemy does not want the church to understand, number one, the power of unity? Why do you think the enemy fights so hard against the church getting along? Why do you think the enemy tries to always place schisms and division within the fellowship? Because he wants to destroy the unity of the church. And the second thing is he doesn't want us to know or understand the power of agreement. He does not want us to have a clue what would happen if people of God begin to like God would have us become and set ourselves in agreement one with another, and we just begin to expect God. I mean, we just begin to expect God to do something mighty and great. Mark 3:25 says, "And if a house is divided, split into factions in rebelling against itself, that house will not be able to last." You know, sometimes we've got our eyes on the outside. Well, we don't want anything on the outside to influence. Can I tell you the problem's not on the outside, it's on the inside. Offense is a choice. You can choose. You know, last week we went into depth about how we're to love one another. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, I'm getting really tired of hearing this." Well, I got news for you. I'm not done. You need to understand that if we don't talk about this and recognize what is my part in this, and that if we're not all on the same page, that's agreement. If we're not all speaking the same thing, then, you know, you can stop it right here. Somebody says, "You know, I just need to talk to you. You know, that pastor, he's a little bit off." Stop it right here. You can stop it right here. I can't tell you how many times somebody says, "You know, I want to tell you about so-and-so." I'll say, "Listen, they're so close to me. They are just like best friends. I mean, you tell me, I tell them. It is so good. We are in such a good relationship." And you know what? Nine out of ten times, this is what they'll say. You'll say, "You know, I love them too." "Thank you." That's it. That's all there is to it. It stops it. Listen, you can choose not to be offended. How many have had to make the choice maybe this week? Anyone had to make a choice not to be offended? How many was tempted to be offended? Yeah. You make a choice whether or not you're going to not be. If a house is divided against itself, that house is impossible for it to last. It cannot stand. So that you might know, let's not be ignorant concerning the enemy's devices. Don't you know that the enemy would like to divide this house? How many know the enemy would like to divide this house? If he can divide this house, throw in some division, some schism going on, then what happens is it falls from within. And we will not allow that. Amen. We will not allow it. Amen. We are not going to allow it. The enemy is after your agreement. Anybody getting this tonight? He is after your agreement. He is going to do everything he can. Let's just take a husband and wife for the moment. Let's look at the husband and wife. How many know how important it is for that husband and wife to walk in agreement with one another? Do you realize how important it is? Do you know that if all of a sudden that there becomes a discord, a division that is not dealt with, that is allowed to grow, that division that starts maybe over something very small, what might even seem insignificant, can become something bigger and bigger and bigger until what it does is it produces distance. Are you hearing me? That same principle works even within the church. Oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. Well, then why did somebody quit church over nothing? You know, I've often used this. I believe that God leads, and I know that God directs, and I realize that, and I understand that God uses. We know that church expansion, I'm not talking kingdom expansion, but church expansion can be from transfer growth. I get that. But I don't think God speaks all the time. I just think people use that. Got real quiet. I think people use that because the truth of the matter is I believe that God places us in his body, this church, this fellowship, for his benefit. Amen. And when it benefits him, guess what? It benefits me. Amen? Amen? It benefits us collectively. All right, so the enemy's after your agreement. God does not, or the enemy does not want you to come into agreement with anything because God knows and God wants you to come into an agreement because that will bring a release into your life. So it's important for you to be in agreement with one another because if you pray in agreement with somebody, I'm telling you, God's going to move on your behalf. So God wants you to build relationships where you can agree with one another. Amen? Ordinary becomes extraordinary when people come into agreement. The ordinary becomes extraordinary when people come into agreement. You know, I've never been good with average. I've never been good with mediocrity. I've never been good, well, that's good enough. I've never been good with, well, you know, it's all right. I've never been good with that. I don't believe that God's called you and I to just be average. Well, if I fail a few battles, no big deal. You win some, you lose some. I don't want to lose any. How many want to withstand every temptation? I don't want to withstand just some temptations. Well, you know, I didn't get them all, but you know, I only gave in to two temptations today. How many want to get over all your temptations? See, that's extraordinary. You understand that? That's not ordinary. Ordinary is, well, you know, you got to sin every day, right? But extraordinary says, I'm going to live above that. Amen. See, I believe that when you set yourself in agreement with somebody, you set yourself with the possibility of unleashing God's power in every area of your life. And God wants you to be extraordinary. God wants us to come into an agreement with one another. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them, and they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. I want you to think about what just has taken place here. This group of believers gathered with expectation, and they gathered in unity. And God poured himself out upon them. Now, you think about the power of agreement. How many would recognize they had to be in agreement? Every one of them arrived at their destination, designed by God. They picked a spot, and they waited there until they were endued with the Holy Spirit, empowered by God. And it was upon them agreeing. It was on the mere fact that they all got there, and we used to say the thought they were in one mind. They were not. They were in one accord. They weren't in one mind. We're not in one mind here. We've all got our minds. But they were in one accord. They were all in agreement. Every one of them had a purpose to be there. And that purpose was the same. I would love to think every one of us have the same purpose for being here tonight. And that purpose would be the same. And that purpose would be that I am going to be taught tonight, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the powerful Word of God that is life-changing, transforming Word. And I'm going to allow my mind to be alert to receive from God's engrafted Word into my heart, and it will produce faith. Amen. And we would come expecting in that. And that's what they did. They agreed to receive. And the Holy Spirit fell upon this upper room where men and women came into agreement. Wow. They came into agreement. How many really want to come into agreement? Do you guys realize how powerful that is? How powerful that is when men and women could come into agreement one with another. Amen. It's powerful when you and I, as men and women, can come. How many realize the enemy doesn't want that? Do you know that even right now, even as I'm teaching, the enemy's trying to rob your thoughts, trying to distract you, trying to pull off your attention? The enemy does not want you to receive this word, because receiving this word can change your life. When you come into agreement with one another, how powerful that is. Deuteronomy 32 and 30. How can one have chased 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight? Now, I'm not a mathematical genius, but that doesn't make sense. It's the power of unity. It's the power of agreement. It's the power of corporate. It's the power of more than one. Listen, it's real tempted to isolate yourself. Huh? It's real easy, isn't it? To become, I'm going to use the word, I don't mean it to be offensive, that's not my heart, to become very self-absorbed. Well, nobody will understand. How many have been in a crowded room and feel alone? I mean, you can be around people and still not feel like you're with them, right? Pardon me? Well, no, I'm not even using that. That can be, but that's not necessarily what I'm bringing up. I mean, there can be a self-pity, but that's not necessarily what I'm bringing up. There is a tendency when we... See, a lot of times what we do is we compare ourselves with one another. And it really comes from a position of insecurity sometimes where we might feel like no one else will understand me. And I think that many times we come to the idea that not only will no one understand because nobody else is like me. And I really have an issue that nobody else has. Yes. Well, that's true also. That's true as well. How can I expect someone else if I don't even understand myself? So what we tend to do is we tend to withdraw. We tend to pull away. How many realize that certainly cannot be the plan of God? Because we're talking about the power of unity and the power of agreement. And if I isolate myself, I'm not in agreement with anybody but myself. So I'm not benefiting from corporate. I'm not benefiting from the collective. I'm all by myself. And let me tell you something, when you get all by yourself, it's a very dangerous place to be, because in that self-absorbed state, the enemy can tell you anything. And you'll begin to believe things that are just not so. You'll convince yourself that so-and-so don't even like you. And why didn't so-and-so smile at you? And I don't know why so-and-so didn't shake my hand tonight. I walked right by so-and-so, and so-and-so got quiet when I walked by them, and they were talking to somebody else. And you know what? I think they were talking about me. You guys see the problem with all that? Well, it is a lot of work, but it's a lot of truth. It's a lot of truth. And all of a sudden, you've pulled yourself away from what can set you free. The unity and the power of being in agreement one with another. So let's look at the math here. One can chase 1,000. Put two and you'll chase 10,000 to flight. That's the power of agreement. That's the power of agreement. It changes. See, it takes ordinary to extraordinary. Let's bring it to the idea of demons, demon chasing. All right? If all by myself I'm able to chase 10,000 demons, but I add one believer with me who will agree with me, and now instead of chasing 1,000, we'll chase 10,000 demons. What happens if we add one more? In agreement. You guys can see how it can multiply very, very quickly. So there's something in this. Are you getting that? There's something in this that God wants us to understand and God wants us to experience. The power of agreement. God wants us to experience this. Now, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, this particular subject is one that some of you guys could probably tell the story very quickly. It's called Sin in the Camp. How many have heard the story, Sin in the Camp? If anybody has heard the story, Sin in the Camp, raise your hand. I want to see how many know this. Well, I'm going to enjoy telling you the story then, because many of you haven't heard this. Joshua has he's taken over, of course, for Moses. Moses now has died in the wilderness. He's crossed the Red Sea, and he is going up against a relatively small army or a small enemy. And the enemy is called Ai. And Joshua has sought his intelligence. He sought the group of leaders under him for their advice and their recommendations. And they said, really, Joshua, this is such a small army. This is really no big deal. So you're not going to need to send in all of your army. You're not going to need to. Just send a small group in. And they'll make light work of this army. They'll go in and they'll defeat this group without any problem at all. And so Joshua heeded the recommendation of his intelligence. You can almost bring this right to some intelligence that we're thinking about in our government today, right? Well, did I say intelligence? Okay, I didn't. Excuse me. You understand what I'm talking about. You surround yourself with people hopefully smarter than you. Right? And that can hopefully kind of give you some good, positive intelligence, and then you respond to that, and you move forward in that intelligence. And that's exactly what Joshua did. And they sent 3,000 men in. And Israel got just annihilated. Israel got beat up really bad. Yes? The whole story? Can we agree? Can we just agree on this? All right, so the 3,000 Israelites got just absolutely beat up, really, really bad. So Joshua now, how many have ever gotten upset because things didn't go the way you expected? What? Most of the time. I mean, when I'm talking about that, how many have beat yourselves up when things didn't go right? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I mean, you underestimated the challenge, and you're now licking your wounds because of the effect of what you just It was your decision, right? But you got there. Am I talking to anybody understanding? You got there. You were the one that arrived at the destination, and after you thought you heard from God. You thought you were responding to what God had told you. And remember, God has told Joshua, every enemy you come against, I will give them into your hands. So he's responding to the word of the Lord, number one. And secondly, he's responding to what he believed to be a good assessment of what he was up against. But Israel got beat up anyway. And so you'll find Joshua going to the ash pile. Have you ever been to the ash pile? It's where you just cover yourself up in the misery of what you've just been through. Anybody here ever lick your wounds? You know where, you know, I think it was Linda, or no, it was Sandy that mentioned self-pity. This would be a place of self-pity. Oh, was it Linda? Okay, you get, now you're at this place where you're so miserable because it didn't go the way you had thought it was going to go. And now what did I do wrong? In fact, that was the question Joshua asked of the Lord. He said, God, I don't understand. If you were going to just kill us, why didn't you kill us back in the wilderness? Why did you bring us through the miraculous power of God through the dry land of the Jordan River to have us now be annihilated by this small, petty little army? How many have ever had victory over something and then turn around and did something you had victory over? Right? And then you think, what happened? Haven't I been around this mountain enough? Haven't I learned from the last time I got beat up in this temptation? Haven't I learned that nothing changes until something changes? Because stupidity is to do the same thing over again and expect a different result. So he is there in the ash pile saying, God, I don't get it. Have you been there? I don't understand. You're the great I am. You're the creator of everything. Why have I now felt the defeat of what's going on here? And God told him, Joshua, the problem is not with you. That's good news. That's good news. The problem is not with you, but somebody in your ranks is not in agreement with you. Somebody in your ranks has done the unthinkable. Somebody within your ranks has done the ungodly, the unrighteous. Somebody has done what should not have been done. And they're not in agreement. Now listen, this is nothing new. We're looking in the Old Testament, but I want to take you now for just a moment, let's divert into the New Testament to the Last Supper. Jesus is now breaking bread with all of his disciples, and he looks and he says, one of you is not in agreement. One of you is led by the enemy. How many know the story that a little leaven? How many know it's the little foxes? Are you guys understanding the text of what we're talking about? How many know that just because somebody puts on a PBFC t-shirt does not mean they're in agreement? Are you with me? Just because somebody's got a Christian bumper sticker. Daniel was telling me this the other day, and I will not say the group that he saw, but he saw a bumper sticker on a vehicle, and in this bumper sticker it said what they were a part of and who they were, and somebody got in their way, and he saw him honk the horn and flip somebody off. Just because it's on the bumper sticker on the back of the vehicle doesn't mean that what's on the inside of the vehicle matches what is on the outside of the vehicle. Jesus looked right at Judas and said, "What is ever in your heart to do, go and do it." Because he wasn't in agreement. One bad apple. Right? Listen, we need to know who we walk with, right? Because how can two even walk together unless they agree? The power of agreement. Amen? Joshua says, "What's happened here?" And God revealed to him exactly what he did. And I want you to know what this is all about. The man in question is a man by the name of Achan. Everybody say Achan. Do you know what he's guilty of doing? He stole the tithe. Ooh, that's tough. That's what he did. He stole the tithe. He stole the tithe. He stole what was sacred to God. That's what the Bible calls the tithe. That's what this is. It is the tithe. See, because what had happened was, it's amazing what we will attribute and call even what we might say they're prosperous. Are you listening to me? We might say somebody's prosperous. That would almost like say that somebody went and robbed a bank. And now they're prosperous because they have revenue that they stole from the bank. Joshua gathered the 12 tribes together and all those, and he began to question them concerning what had been stolen. And he gets right to Achan and he looks at him. He said, "What have you done that you would like to confess to all of us and to God?" He says, "Well, I knew I wasn't supposed to." See, I'm often criticized because I'm told that I don't tell people what sin is. I think we know what sin is. Don't we know what it is? Do you know that even children know what sin is? They know pretty young what no means, don't they? Catch them with their hand in the cookie jar and see what they do. They just took a bite of the cookie. Did you eat the cookie? Crumbs everywhere, right? They know what they've done, right? You know, my dog even knows when he does something wrong, when she does something wrong. She'll tuck her tail. She knows. She knows. You can teach a dog, you ought to be able to teach people. So he said, "What have you done with these sacredness, the items that you've stolen," which represents, it does represent the tithe. You know, let me just throw this real quick to you, just so you know. Do you know how badly God wants to bless the 90%? Do you know just how much God wants to bless the 90? He just wants you to honor him with the 10th. Because it's his. Did you hear me? It's his. When you honor him with the 10th, he says, "Let me now touch the 90. You can either have the 10th and have 100% not touched by God, or you can release what is his for him to touch the 90. It's powerful, guys. Really, it is. So here's what they said. They said, "I took what was not mine, and I buried it, and I hid it in my tent." Now, if you actually go to Joshua chapter 8, the whole next chapter, you'll see how Joshua dealt with Achan, and not just Achan. He dealt with the entire family. He dealt with all of them. In fact, he slaughtered every one of them, his entire family. He took care of him and his wife and the children. Are you guys understanding here? In other words, what he was doing was is he had to make sure that what remained was in agreement. He was removing the thorn. He was taking out of the equation what caused a defeat to Israel. You guys see how positive this is? I know that it sounds rather gruesome, but you know, I want you to look and understand the heart of God. God was saying is, I have declared you victorious, but as long as you allow the sin to remain, you are not going to have the power of agreement, because you've got within the ranks disagreement going on. So here's a thought for us. The enemy is always looking for the one. How many know this to be true? The enemy is always looking for the one that will stop the victory by disagreeing. Are you guys getting anything out of this tonight? The enemy is always looking for the one. You remember when Jesus was making the statement that there's one among us that is not in agreement with us? And they begin to go, is it I? Lord, is it I? Is it I? You see, what the Holy Spirit would want all of us to know and understand tonight is God is saying to you tonight, will you come into agreement? Do you want me to move on your behalf like never before? You know, there's a powerful word, and I've been learning it. I wish I could say I've learned it, but this is a process. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm learning the word of submission. I'm learning the word of submission. To submit means to yield, to surrender, and to comply. Now let me tell you what most of us do, including me from time to time, until I deal with the fact that I must submit. And we sometimes throw that word arbitrarily to our spouses, men to our wives. Now you need to submit. But the scripture actually says husbands and wives submit one to another. Submit one to another. Yield, surrender, and comply. Submission is not when you agree. Submission is to yield, surrender, and comply when you don't agree, but by your submission you come into agreement. It's powerful, isn't it? When you yield. See, there are times that my wife may desire something from me that I don't necessarily want to give up. And I need to yield, surrender, and comply. Are you guys with me? Don't make that into anything more than what I'm saying. I want you guys to understand. I'm not trying to talk anything wrong here. I'm not trying to make anything wrong. Come on, that's not what I'm saying. There are times when I don't want to go there, or I don't want to do that. And I need to learn always to submit. Likewise, so must she. Right? See, submission is right on both parties. Submission is right for us as a fellowship. How many understand that? I don't like that song. I don't want him to sing that song. Submit. Submit. It's not about you. It's not about you. Love that individual that's unlovable. It's not about you. Right? The power of agreement. The power of agreement. After Joshua annihilated this sin, after he dealt with this, can I tell you? Everybody else just lined up for agreement. Right? How many know that just absolutely happened? You guys get that? Hey, listen, there was not one other person said, listen, Joshua, I agree. Everyone else, I'm not kidding you, there was not one person that was going to say, Joshua, I don't agree. Everyone said, you're the man. Thou art the man. Joshua, I submit. Listen, they did it in front of everybody. They annihilated the sin in front of everybody. If there was even so much as a temptation that had not been acted upon, they were not about to go. I think I would love for God just to show up and do just one of those things, just one of them. I'm just, you know you do too. You do. Come on, just one. You know, can you remember when Ananias came in and here they were, they were coming into Peter, and he first met the husband, right? And he had taken back, he had kept the tithe is really what he did. He didn't give it. I'm not on tithe, and I don't know why I'm bringing it up. Anyway, he brought it, you know what I'm saying? And so he told him, he said, listen, he said, all right, have you given what you're supposed to give? And he said, oh, yes, I did. And he said, well, the Holy Spirit is just going to knock you down dead, and the guys are coming to take your body out and bury you. Boom! I mean, if I'm part of that church group, I'm going, Peter, you're the man. Woo! Peter! I agree with you, Peter. Yeah. Honey, write that check out. We forgot to give. Give it the check right now. Sow the seed right now. Right? Are you guys with me? His wife walks in. Peter looks at her and says, hey, did you sell the property for this or that? Well, I sold it for... Yeah, that's the same thing your husband said. Yeah, that's exactly the one. Well, the men just buried your husband, and they're coming back for you. Boom! Shout now, church! I mean, anybody with me? I mean, come on, we'd have a church service. And Peter, what do you want to tell us next? I'm all ears. I'm right there. Come on, the power of agreement. Man, I'm in agreement. What do you want us to do, Peter? Anything, Peter. Whatever. I don't even have to understand it. Peter, you say it, and I'm all there. How much did you tell me to give? I'm cutting the check. Right? Because I'm in agreement. I think truthfully, we've lost some of the reverence. Right? I mean, are you guys with me? I'm talking about the power of agreement. I think we've lost something. Things that used to concern us don't concern us anymore. And I'm telling you, we have just one of those episodes. Just one. Just one. And I'm telling you what, it will change our perspective. I've just given you guys the word. That's all I've done. I've just talked to you guys about the word. It's the power of agreement. It's the power of agreement. I'll share one testimony. And I didn't know if I was going to go here, but I'm going to. Wasn't sure I was going to go here, but I'm going to. Over the 7 years that I've been here, my two sons who have been on paid staff, I've had other paid staff over the years, and now it's just the two boys and of course their families and us. And I was not in agreement of how they got paid. But they liked it. Originally. I was not in agreement with it because it didn't take them to have to believe. Because they were on a set salary. And a set salary means that they get paid no matter what. So if the church support was low, they still got salary. And if it meant that we... In fact, I got to tell you guys, this was really funny because one time Chris got paid. It's really hilarious. But Chris just got paid for the month. And it was early in our start here, so there wasn't a tremendous amount of support. And he got a whole month's worth of wage, and I got $300. Now, you've never heard me complain, because God's always been my source. He's always taken care of me. And so it's a true story, is it not? Is it a true story? Okay, but I'm telling a story. Yeah, it's a true story. How many want to hear the story? So Chris calls me up and says, Dad, listen, can you help me a little bit? I need a little more help. And I said, you just got paid. He said, I know, but Dad, it's not enough. And I need a little bit more help. And I said, son, but I gave you the whole month's salary. You've just been paid the whole month salary. And he said, I know, but I'm needing a little bit more help. And I said to him, I says, but son, I only received $300. You got a lot more than me. I got $300. He said, that $300 would really help me out. Okay, so everybody say yes, it was just like that. So everybody say the power of agreement. When we made the decision to bring both my sons full time, and both our sons, excuse me, I'm in agreement with you, our sons. When we made the decision to bring them both on, I'd been praying about how to do it. You know, you got to take steps of faith. Are you with me? Because, you've got to believe for what has not been. You understand? And so I went and I worked with them on, and I wanted them because I draw from a percentage. I wanted them to draw from a percentage so that we can trust God together, so we can set ourselves in agreement. Are you with me? And that they would no longer be on a salary. Now, let me tell you the benefit of that, because that means if support is low, it's a percentage, you understand. And so it is felt all the way around. And so guess what they get to do? They get to believe with me. Do you understand? You get the power of agreement. Do you know that's why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you? Because I'm experiencing what I've known all along, but they needed to agree with me concerning this. They needed to come into an agreement with me so I could agree with them and we could see the release of God's provision in this. Are you with me? So they started May 1. That's when they officially started full time. Now, Chris has been, for the most part, somewhat full time, but if the school needed him, he could go. Am I right? He could go. I didn't hold him to that because I couldn't. I didn't feel like I could bless him enough in order to keep him so that if the school called, I didn't feel like I was right by saying, don't go to work for the school because I can't pay you enough. So I felt like if he had to go to the school, even if it meant he worked every day at the school, I had to be okay with that. But I really was never okay with that. You understand? Because I'm paying him. So when we made this agreement, I told both of them, and they have set hours they have to work for me, and I told them, work for the church, because that's what they do. They work for you. They work for you. And so I told them the hours that I expected from them and what I wanted them to do, and I told Chris, you can no longer work for the school on your structured days that you work here. That also means you can't go fishing on those days. That also means I didn't invite him to play racquetball with me this morning. Because he had hours here to work. I was off this morning. It was my morning off. Probably a good thing, because Ernie's bruised and battered and lost every game that I played him today. But all right. I want to finish this. Is this all right to finish? So they actually started, Daniel started 2 weeks in April. And so it was the last 2 weeks. And I had told them that I was going to prorate it in April, because they only worked 2 weeks. Are you guys with me so far? But the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, listen, if you're going to step out, why don't you step out all the way? So I paid them for the whole month of April, not on the new system. I paid them for the entire month. And they both Chris experienced increase for him. Daniel experienced decrease for him because of the job he had. Are you with me? Because the job he had was a very good paying job. And so for him, it would be a decrease. For him, it would be an increase. So in the month of May 1, we start. This is the official first month we start. We are on record and on task right now for the highest month this church has ever had. history, in the history of PBFC, this is the highest month we have ever had. Why? It's the power of agreement. Do you guys understand? It is the power of agreement. I told them both. I said, I need you guys to believe with me in agreement. It's unity. Give God a hand clap of praise. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Is anybody? Did I help anybody tonight? Amen. Yes. Put that down.